Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. This is part two of our August 3rd podcast.
The other thing I had was...
Churches.
The churches.
I have an entire printed list. What do you mean?
I was. What do you think this chewing was? I was eating my list here. No, the turns out that this is a...
Evil churches.
The evil churches, right. In Stafford, Texas, population 30,000, which actually, you know, decent-sized place, has something like 51 churches, and there's so many churches that the town... they have no property tax, as a lot of places don't. They have no property tax, so
they're big churches.
So they're churches, so they basically, so they're tax free, because of federal. So the whole town is like coated in churches, and they don't have any money for the police.
My house is a church.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
On Sunday we get together and
but it's interesting because
I think I'm gonna go to Reverend Jimmy's house.
That's right. It's church.
I mean, it's Reverend Jimmy's
church of the barbecue.
Right. Have a bottle of prayer juice.
That's right. We have our own hymns and everything. That's right. Some hers also. Okay. No, the deal is that the reason I brought this up and I thought was interesting was we have the same thing here in this town. Over half the town is owned by the state or the county or the city, and
because of the university.
Because the university, that's right. But there's a lot more here. Not only is the university involved in it, but we have parks here that are off limits to taxation.
Everybody's exempt,
and we have Alachua County Forever, which is in the process of buying up the rest of the land to save it for...
Forever.
And nobody will ever get to use it. Ever.
My name
so
is...
So we're here in North Central Florida.
It'll be the same forever.
That's right.
My name is Bob Ever.
That's right.
You saving that for me?
Yeah.
That's it. That's
forever.
I'm going to call that Everland. Okay.
No relation to Neverland.
No. Yes. No, what children we have here, a little older. And mostly of the female persuasion. Large female persuasion. So anyway, at least a couple of years older.
Oh. So Alachua County's not paying. It's not.
No, that's the thing. And of course, we do have property taxes. And what happens is we have.
I certainly do. I don't know about you.
Well, no, we have another distortion, of course, in that with the state of Florida has passed the same thing they did in California with the Prop 13 years ago. Here we had the same thing, and I forget what they called it. But if you live in your house, your property taxes can only go up by 3%, a maximum of 3% a year, as long as you stay in their house and you don't make any additions and so forth. So what happens is the hungry maw of the county desires to have more money for whatever, you know, weirdo bat brain project they come up with next, because nothing ever gets off the table once it's on.
They have a goal, like once they get to a certain amount, they have enough?
Yeah, exactly right. There is no loophole for that. If you sell your house to somebody,
that's what I'm talking about.
Up to the new value. And of course, if you, all the commercial property is not that kind. So obviously, since we're a university town and there's 50,000 students plus that are renting here,
you're building apartments,
and they're right. So the apartments all get stuck with it big time. That's the only people they can tax are the commercial interests.
New development,
right? And when somebody switches their house. Of course, is there's a big disincentive to move in this town for you to sell your house and move to a new house. You think, well, wait a minute. If my taxes are going to go from 1,000 to, you know, 8,000 bucks, I need to take that into account, because that obviously raises your monthly payments substantially.
Considerably.
Yeah. So anyway, we have the same kind of problem that they do.
Jimmy,
here.
I wish you had told me that before I sold my house.
I did. Wait a minute. That's called due diligence. Your realtor was supposed to tell you that.
So is this another example where the...
Unintended consequences. The government involved, unintended consequences. And this is the question about the churches in Texas is, what do you do? I mean, I don't know. I would say that probably what... in
You
Stafford,
tax them.
Well, yeah.
10%.
That's what they take, 10%. What you do here, of course, instead of taxing them, is you have a fee.
10%.
Right.
You have an annual fee. So it's if you want to join up.
A licensing fee
for the fire department. You have to get a little sticker.
Right.
Like your tag. Right. It's not a tax, it's a fee.
And that sticker says 10%.
Yeah, that's right. So that's called tithing.
That's right.
I wish I only tithe taxes here. I'll tell you. So anyway, the what they should do, I don't know why they don't, but what they should do is to go ahead and annex a whole bunch of property outside the city limits.
Or annex, you mean. annex and annex. Just clear. It can be tomato, tomato.
Whatever. Add to their property,
right.
Flatness, volume, whatever, something. No, area. Mm-hmm. Add to the square mileage of this place.
Since we're talking about churches, we might as well answer our second question.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember, if you email your questions to Jimmy at JimmyDone.com, he will answer them.
We will force him to answer.
Sort of live.
He will answer some of them.
At
his discretion.
No. We're going to answer all of them.
This is from our listener, Houston.
That's Houston. Exactly.
That's right. One of two.
And his question is...
Houston has a problem.
No, he doesn't. He's throwing this into the pot to see if we can stir up some alienation from our other listener.
So, if you're a sensitive listener, please fast forward 10 minutes.
Yeah, good luck on fast forwarding on your iPod.
So, he has a two-part question. Part A is about...
Nothing for extra credit? Just two parts? That's it? Multiple guests? What?
Two
no, go ahead.
Parts.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Part one is, or part A, is about stem cells.
I'll take stem cells for $200.
Okay. Okay, your question, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Your question is about stem cells. What is the libertarian perspective, if you can claim to direct us in that direction?
No clue. No, I tell you what the question that I have, that I ask people.
Always thorough here at Jimmy Doan.
That's right.
Kill all of you.
Kill all the humans.
Yeah, that's a Bender thing.
Saying kill all the humans.
He was having a dream before I moved in with him, and he was like,
I was having the most wonderful dream. I think you were in it.
Kill all the humans.
Yeah, kill all the humans.
The question I have is, when does life begin?
Well,
as soon as you get a lot of money,
that's when you really have the life.
Get richer.
if you're asking me, my answer is when the entity can be viably
outside the womb.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that, of course, that's a shifting thing. That's a shifting.
It's a time that changes. You mean?
Yeah. That's a shifting. What do you call it?
Standard.
Standard. Yeah, because it used to be. You know, if the child was born...
It's a trimester thing, according to Roe v. Wade.
I understand that, but these are mortal men, fallible mortal men making decisions.
Sure. Well, my point is that in any case, the stem cells aren't alive. I mean, they're not viable life forms.
Are they life?
Well, no more than, like, your skin cell is life.
Really? No. This is fertilized eggs we're talking about, right?
No, these are stem cells. I mean, these are
parts of... Where do they come from?
They came from a fertilized egg.
Ah, they came from a fertilized egg.
Several divisions down the road.
Right, several divisions down the road. So you have a fertilized egg, and is that not life? Is that not human life?
Not anymore, not by the time the researcher gets it.
No, yeah. I understand.
And nobody's encouraging...
There are people that say... There's two things to consider here that are not even hardly related. One is the veto that Bush did on the federal funding of stem cell research, which, of course, as far as I'm concerned, they should not fund even NIH or anything. I mean, they have no business funding any of that.
No business in science.
No business in that at all. This is they call it an investment, but it's a boondoggle across the board. And we saw that with the Genome Project when the guy left NIH. I forget his name off the top of my head, and started Genentech. And the only reason that the NIH got... jacked up about this was this guy was getting ready to beat him to the punch, which he did, as far as doing the human genome. They had originally said they weren't going to get it before 2010 or something, and then they moved up to 2006, and then he said, oh, I'm going to have it by 2000, and he did. And, of course, the NIH barreled in there and said, oh, yeah, we did too. Yeah, I mean, it was competition that kicked him in the butt. The point is that the NIH and a lot of these places that are funded, they shouldn't be funded anyway. But that wouldn't stop stem cell research or any kind of cell research.
Exactly.
Not zero. So that is off the table. And the money goes where the money is. If you have a way, if you can prove or show even more than with the government, I think, because so often the government, as we've seen, the government studies will be, in order to get grant money, you work up some kind of thing that says, here's where I'm going to make... here's where I'm going to make all the advances for the government, for people, and so forth. And needless to say, when you write a grant, you embellish it ever so slightly. And some people, hard to believe, lie in order to get grant money.
No.
Whereas in the public, in the private sector, if you want to call it that, in the out in the real world, you can show somebody, convince an investor, say, an angel, whatever, a venture capitalist, that you're on the right track for anything, though, you can get all the money you want.
Right. Well, it's the same standard. I mean, you have to make your pitch to the money people. But
in politics are very often involved. To a greater extent, I think, than in the private sector. But anyway, be that as it may, the question was, and I need to answer this one, is what about stem cell research?
Well, until they can grow a stem cell into a live human, and there's somebody that's willing to do it, I mean, I would say if they can do that, you know, hey, let somebody do it if they want to buy the cell.
Jimmy's on the fence on this one. I'll tell you why. Because I believe that when you got the life starts with the fertilized egg.
Yeah, but you'd need more than those stem cells to create the life again.
No, what I'm saying is, in order to get the stem cells, you have to kill something that's live.
Well, yeah, but you
and
don't have to do those things
sort of
in quick succession. I mean,
how fast? You know,
they actually were pulling stem cells from fat cells and actually turning
fat cells
into muscles.
Those are adult stem cells. And in fact, a lot of the research it's been kind of hidden. And it's all been confused by the federal funding. This again, they've muddied the waters on this thing. The adult stem cells are easily obtainable, no problem. You can do all the research in the world, and I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
What you're objecting to is potentially the embryonic. You're objecting to some sort of abortion.
I'm asking you, when does life begin? And you're saying, well, I think it's around 5 months and 13 days and 42 hours and 6 minutes or something. Well, okay, fine. That's your definition. I
think that it's at that moment.
It's at the fertilized. Once you have the fertilized egg, you've got basically life. Life has started, and it will grow. If you don't kill it, it'll grow. I mean, and it's human. I mean, it'll grow into a human. It's not like it'll grow into.
Sexy mama. Want to kill all humans?
It's not going to grow into a carrot. So that's
unless it's going to be a politician or something.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
Transform into a slug.
Into a slug.
All right. So Houston, to answer your question about that, in terms of federal funding, we're against federal funding for that
across
kind
the
of
board.
Stuff.
Right. The libertarians would say, and then as far as the rest of it is, I don't know. I don't think there's a libertarian. I don't
the
think
market
there's a,
will decide.
The market will decide. Yeah. The libertarian stance is we're staying away from that one or something. At least mine is. I'm running the other way. I'm backing away rapidly. And what was the second part?
Part B was about the separation of church and state. And
oh, okay, Bob. I'm going to take separation of church and state for 400.
And your question is... Sorry. I'm not sure if you wanted this question answered in general. That is to say, what is your opinion in general on separation of church and state, or as it applied to local, recent cases that we've had, such as the...
You're the attorney, so on recent cases, what's the story?
Well, on recent cases, they've split the baby a little bit.
Stem cells.
When I say they, I mean no pun done. I say this when I say we or they, I mean the Supreme Court of the United States said, well, you can't have this big Ten Commandments inside this big courthouse. But
they got it theirs, don't they?
Let's see, was it a Capitol building?
No, I mean the Supreme Court.
The Ten Commandments?
Yeah, well, there's bunches.
Well, what they've got is a historical. They've got historical. That's what I'm talking about. Split the baby. In the Supreme Court building, they have historical documents related to law, and the Ten Commandments are one of them.
Okay.
But this was more or less.
This was that guy in Alabama that put him in the middle of the courthouse or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand that.
It looks to them like an endorsement of religion.
Right. Now the question is, how does this comport with In God We Trust on All Our Money? And the fact that both the Senate and the House and the Supreme Court all open with prayers.
Right.
To God.
I mean, I would argue that In God We Trust is non-denominational. I mean, it could be Jewish, Muslim, Hindu.
What if you're an atheist? There is no God.
Well, that's true.
And that's the guy, of course. The atheists are the ones that have been fighting this thing tooth and nail across the board.
Yeah, for the most part, it doesn't really annoy anybody except the atheists.
Right. Well, isn't that? What about that cross in the cross that was on top of the hill? Didn't they say take that down?
I think
they did say take it down, but then the feds came in and made it federal property.
Right. Exactly.
Something along those lines. Right.
Yeah.
But now they're taking it to a federal case. So I think they're going to make it a federal case.
Right. And this, this case that we're talking about here is there was a giant big white cross erected on a, it was private cross, but it was on city property.
War memorial.
Right. That's what they were claiming, was that it was a war memorial. Right. And the question is, does this violate separation of church and state because it endorses Christianity? And again, you have to get back to, I mean, you know, how annoying, you know, how impositional is this endorsement? I mean, if they say "In God We Trust" on a piece of money, is that an imposition for the atheists?
I'll not touch it. I wear hospital gloves when I touch my money, because I won't touch that stuff.
I don't
nasty words like that.
Rip it up and use it as confetti. Right?
We're going to talk about that.
But just to finish off, in some ways, of course, I mean, you don't have the right to not be annoyed by this, you know. So there's God around here. So somebody says a prayer, big deal, get over it.
But they've stopped a lot of that. I mean, they've made sure they've stopped that across the board, like you say, even though supposedly they don't have the right to be annoyed. Well, what they've done.
I think what they mean is you don't have the right to be annoyed by the government, or you have the right to not be annoyed in terms of them promoting some religion.
What a joke!
Yeah.
Talk about an annoying. God, those guys annoy me all the time. Every time you have an inspection or anything like that, the cops stop you for what? Lousy speeding. Have you watched Cops recently on TV? Some guy throws like one crack rock out the window, and they have like 90 cars chase this guy down. Four cops beat the crap out of him, and then they haul him off. And, hey, you're going to jail forever, man. I'm thinking,
it sounds a little bit anti-status.
Jesus. I mean, I'm thinking, how bad? You know, you got anything better to do? Cops than, you know. Anyway.
It's not the cops' fault. It's the law. The law's a little too strict.
I understand that. But you wonder when you watch these things and you see 14 cars chasing this one guy down the road because.
Well, it's
because
they got so many laws. They got to bust people for stuff like, you know, smoking some crack. And then
well,
they
this
got
one
extra
guy,
people.
They showed the offense in this one. I'm digressing, but I'm going to come right back. And they caught, literally, it was a piece of marijuana butt that you had to hold with a roach clip. It was so small. It was, I mean, literally.
We got it.
No, they held it up to the camera. I mean, it was, you know, and they're showing it. And it was
drug dealer.
I mean, you know.
Hey, you know, if he's within 1,000 feet of a church in this town, it could be a
oh, yeah,
serious.
Or a school. Bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye.
Or
yeah.
A school.
Okay, so let me back up and go to, what was the other? Oh, but the original idea was that you're not the original prohibition was that you couldn't have like the Church of England like you have the Church of the United States.
Right.
That's all. That was it. I mean, basically, you couldn't have the Church of the United States. And
yeah, they don't want the government establishing religion.
Establishing, right. That's why they call it the Establishment Clause. Right.
Right.
And so now they've taken this way beyond anything, it seems to me. And they consider the fact that you got commandments or whatever it is, like you can't walk past it, and you know they call that the establishment of a religion. And
hopefully the lower courts will be throwing this stuff out as people bring up a challenge. You know, it's like, he held his hands in the sign of a cross.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Think about how many people wear a little cross, you know, when they
And I see you couldn't have teachers doing that because they're part of the government institution.
Again, this is one of the reasons why we should not have government run indoctrination centers. They should be, you know, they should get rid of them and have everybody go privately, and then you can have your Muslim, you can have your creationist flat earth school if you want, you know, no problem.
As everyone knows, 20th century colleges were basically expensive daycare centers.
That's right, and getting more expensive. That's right.
So Houston, I hope we answered your question,
and if we didn't, do it.
No. Remember, send your questions to jimmy@jimmydone.com and he will answer.
Okay. The other thing you'd mentioned, Jack, you'd mentioned about the money.
Yeah.
And I noticed that one
ripping
of these...
Ripping out money.
You saw
that? Yep.
Lavish wedding for new... There's two things happen in Paris. Are we going to... Do I have anything... Before we go on, do we have anything that's of any heavy note?
Not that I know.
This is our segue into the light notes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did have one little thing that I can mention.
We had
another actual listener email me.
What? So this is the Eric Engineer show?
Eric the Engineer is taking over.
Eric and Guess.
It's a coup. We're having a mutiny.
This is from listener James in Atlanta, and he said that the movie you guys were thinking about was named Virus. That was the one that was where the ship got the transmission from space, and then the thing started to evolve.
I never saw it, but I heard it was the worst
It was bad.
The worst movie that Donald Sutherland ever was in. And
Could have been. But anyway, he had a two-part
Buffy
thing.
The Vampire
Slayer. We were just talking about cops and stuff, and this is a little recap on our last week's show when we were talking about the cameras and video recognition and stuff like that.
That's right.
Back from 89 to 92, he was stationed in Germany, and he said they had a very extensive camera system in Germany to catch, you know, speeders and things like that. And also, they claimed it was to help people with broken down vehicles and things. Right, exactly, of course. But he says the tickets are delivered to you at home or work, and they're handled by the local banks. Even the normal tickets are handled, you know, by the banks. And
it takes a picture of you running the red light.
Actually, here's the deal. Basically, this one guy, one of his a first sergeant, was screaming up and down because it took a picture of him in his car. And his wife doing 200 kilometers an hour inside the city limits. Actually, it was his wife. There were four picture frames: the driver, the license plate, the car, and the speed recorded. And he said the sensors are in the cameras that are in boxes that are smaller than a toaster, and they'd be on these little, like a little bumper, a very short pole, and they're extremely hard to see.
Huh.
So, you know, a little, what do they call it, age of the spiritual machine is working against you in some of these things. But was in 89 to 92, so that's, you know, a long time ago.
It's probably illegal to do jamming, eh?
Well, you know, interesting. You wonder if everybody gets a jammer.
You get an EMP,
right?
As you cruise through there, you set off a little EMP.
Or just shuts down the lights too. You know, I mean,
right. Once you're through, who cares? I mean, it would stop anybody chasing you.
Right.
It would kind of tie things up for a little while.
Yeah,
that's good. Okay.
No heavy notes for me though.
Okay. The only thing I had was we had a couple of things for Paris.
Mm-hmm. All right.
One
Vive
is
la France.
Yeah, I mean, can't believe that they are banning topless at the Paris beaches. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they doing? You just do not expect that.
No, you don't expect that. I mean, as I say, the next
thing... They were doing so good.
The next thing you find out is maybe they're going to ban foie gras.
Now,
like
wait,
they
now,
do in Chicago.
Now to clarify...
No more wine.
No more wine either.
That wouldn't happen.
No more fromage from your surrender monkey.
So this isn't on the on the beaches here. This is just
No, it's the Paris. They're apparently... And I have,
what they've
I
done
know.
Is they refurbished the downtown Paris beaches. The shore of the river.
Right. Not really a beach,
riverbank.
The riverbank, right.
Sitting in the park under the trees along the
river. And they put a bunch of sand down there instead of the old tables they used to have sitting around.
Right.
And so people were showing up sunbathing.
Right.
And some girls went there and, you know.
Like they do all over southern France.
Everywhere.
Sure.
And
woo!
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
there were large tourist buses driving by on a regular basis.
Oh, I would imagine.
Busfuls of Japanese.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
taking pictures.
You talk about...
Right? Yeah.
So anyway, that's...
They're crazy.
That's like un-French.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could be like the new Miami,
French.
You know?
Anti-Francais.
Well, so then another thing, I picked this article up. This is a lavish wedding. This is in Paris also. I mean, these people are going crazy over there. Lavish wedding where newlyweds are sprinkled with shredded Euro note confetti has provoked an outrage in a French town.
It's outrageous.
Outrageous.
So instead of throwing rice, they throw money.
What they did is they spit up...
$10,000.
Well, you've seen here in the States, you can get those $1 million or whatever it is.
In a jar.
In a jar. It's old money that they've
shredded
that legally. And in there, if you could ever put it together, I mean, it's like molecular, practically the size of it. And there's maybe, you know, $1,000 that they've chewed up and put in this little thing. So you put on, I've got $1,000.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem is. This falls under the you don't have the right to be annoyed or to not
well,
be annoyed.
Well, it turns out that, let me tell you say that, but, you know, in the United States also, it is illegal to deface your currency.
Well, sure.
And that's what they call this defacing. And so they, of course, this is a rich people's wedding. And I can tell you, so they...
Well, I think it's illegal to deface and or destroy, and they're destroying the money. Isn't that correct?
I don't know what the French law is here in the United States.
You can't destroy money.
I think you can burn it if you want. I don't think you have a problem just doing that. But it's defacing it. If you put a big stamp on it or something,
mustache,
yeah, stuff like, you know. If you
put a penny on a railroad track,
yeah. Well, that's they
it
know
defaces it.
Yeah. Very, very, ever so much. No face on that. But anyway, I thought this was interesting because I don't know if I've mentioned this previously, but Jimmy has.
Yeah, we've mentioned it.
Have we? Oh, yeah.
Jimmy has a history of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, of course, your money wasn't shredded.
No, that's the thing. Right. And
it was good.
They chickened out.
And they chickened out. I mean, this, of course, we're coming
up. I mean, if you're going to throw money.
That's exactly right. If you're going to throw money, make sure it's the real note.
Spendable money.
Mm-hmm. And here, of course, I threw during the.
So bring, tell us the story.
Well, basically, it was no big deal. I threw out of a building here. During one of our parades.
What, six stories, seven stories high.
Eight stories up. And I tossed about $20 out the window.
So big parade going
big
by.
Big parade going by.
Big fancy parade.
And there was a
$20, you know, $20 bill, $1 bill.
$1 bill at about 1 minute interval.
Steady stream of $1
bills. Well, not
bills.
Exactly. It was not steady. No, right. it was like when you've finished whizzing, it's the last little drip there that you do. It's like when you shake it off.
That's,
you know what
a
I mean?
Hell of an analogy.
That's right. It's perfect. That's so you get the picture.
So people on the street were noticing that $1 bills.
Well, in fact, there was a lot of beat up old paper and torn up paper coming down off the roof of this building. I was not on the roof, and I'm throwing it. Anyway, somebody figured it out. And it wasn't too long before the cops showed up. Three armed policemen showed up at my door.
Constabulatories.
That's right. And armed, in uniform.
Because you were in the Texas Book Depository window, right?
Well, and they said,
we know
you're the one that's been throwing the money out the window, and we are going to arrest you on felony, mind you, starting and fighting a riot.
Jimmy, a felon?
Hard to believe. Well, never convicted, you know, in that
right.
case.
For what? What was the charge?
The charge was a felony inciting a riot.
Inciting a riot.
And what happened was
You can incite a riot for less than $20.
Let me show you how. Yeah.
Let me tell you. I'd have got you off of that, Jimmy.
I know. Well, the thing was, unfortunately, Jimmy had been imbibing at that particular point and did not feel like sobering up in the jail cell.
Yeah. And that's what would have happened, too. I mean, I'd have got you off the charge ultimately, but in the meantime, they would have charged you with a felony.
Right.
That we couldn't get, you know, off your record. You'd probably have to prove you're not a felon every time you go to apply for credit or.
Right. So Jimmy, you know, actually, fortunately, was not totally, was not so toasted that he did something silly. He was just.
You closed the doors. Yes, sir.
That's about it. That's about what he did.
Slam.
Well, so anyway, not to be outdone on this, the next year. I realized, I went out there and I looked and the parade was coming by. This is a homecoming parade every October, November, whatever it is. And they had stationed police people out there looking up at the building.
We're in front of the dome.
And that's when the radio control blip comes by.
Well, not quite. We thought about that. Right.
We're in position for Operation Dome.
That's right. Operation Dome.
So what Jimmy did, what Jimmy did, is he trotted upstairs to his neighbor's apartment and took $20 at one fling and said, hi, good to see you. Listen, you watched the parade for recess. Yeah, yeah.
Well, hey, Bob.
And he's got his wife and the
kids.
Wait,
he turned his back.
I went over the window. Whoop! Threw them all out and hoofed it. And I mean, hoofed it. And as I'm going down the stairs, you see clubbing. They're coming up like the firemen in the Twin Towers.
He's on three. He's on three.
Yeah. That's right.
Moving in. A-team, move in.
So anyway, they went and beat up on my neighbor's door.
Always making friends.
That's right.
Jimmy.
No, that's right. I didn't make any friends that day. So anyway, it's Friday. So anyway, we're coming up on that in a couple months. That was fun with that. Anyway, done with that.
Sounds good.
Next, I have their mischief in Norco, California. Teens face felony due to mom's. Did you send me that? Teens face felony charges due to mom's.
Yeah, felony for toilet papering.
Can you imagine?
No.
They said there was some damage, but she went out of her way to track these kids down.
Yeah, she went around and did normal detective work and actually figured out exactly who they were. And
the maximum penalty for the adult would be 3 years in prison for toilet papering her house. Can you imagine? I mean,
does that sound like, that sounds a little excessive, doesn't
sounds
it?
Sounds a little excessive. Well, the key there, I guess, is to not get caught.
No, yeah.
The thing is, she really went, when you look and see what she did, she really did the detective work. I mean, she put Psycho or whatever it is, or Tony Shalhoub to shame.
Monk,
yeah, she put Monk to shame on them. Mm-hmm. She really did the legwork. I mean, she went down city, county records, you know, surveillance to videos.
She persuaded supermarket managers to tally daily toilet paper buys for the week, And basically, this one Stater Brothers manager said there was a run on bathroom tissue 2 days before her home was vandalized.
And, of course, on that same ticket were the other things that they found.
Dog food and flour and cheese. This woman bought 144 rolls of toilet paper.
But sounds like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like it.
They're having a party.
But then the store had basically... it was a cash transaction, but they had a video surveillance. So she went and looked at the showed four teenagers making the purchase.
Idiots. They didn't send anybody in, Lane. Like,
yeah,
what a bunch of maroons.
Right, right, right. One of them
they're teenagers.
Oh, and one of them was wearing a high school letter jacket.
With his name on it.
Right.
May I have 10,000 marbles, please?
Yeah, exactly. So then she got a high school yearbook and used online databases to get the numbers and addresses of the teen on the store tape. And basically,
I'd like to have $400 of Sudafed, please.
Well, I like the cop's quote was great. Her work was instrumental in helping us identify the suspect.
How about she did
Clancy
the whole
Williams.
Thing?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Clancy. Right. Like she did the whole thing. Yeah.
Hey, Lou, you should take some notes from this woman.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Hopefully the charges get dropped. It's a prank stuff. You know, they only get deformed.
Well, I'm telling you, I
how old
this.
Were the kids?
Well, they were 3 15? Juveniles, I think.
No, one was an adult.
One was an adult.
Actually, he had...
Adult meaning he's 18?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Debatable adult, right?
Well, no
this
question.
This is a prank. This is a prank. You know, it's criminal mischief. But they have felony criminal mischief. But they haven't charged him yet, I don't think, by that article. I think they're just considering charging those, you know, it's like I said, if there's a possibility that they could be charged with something, they're going to get the max charge
right,
to begin with,
right,
and
right,
then they'll
right.
get the plea out of it
right,
by
and get the plea
cutting
out.
It down a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, if any of them went inside, they'll charge him with burglary.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then they'll drop that, and they'll give the guys probation or something.
But, yeah, you know, 1,000 hours of community service or something
right.
like that, probably. Yeah. Okay, well, that is just about it. The only other little thing I had, of course, is typical health notes from the FDA. FDA, I love this. This is one of the reasons people have way too much time on their hands. The FDA nominee is stalled over the contraception controversy. They're really hammering this guy. You know, this Plan B, morning after pill or whatever it is, supposed to be sold without a prescription. Of course, what I find phenomenal is always the case, is because a couple of people abuse a particular item, who knows what it is, 4 or 5% or something, they pass a law, nobody gets to do it. So you are too stupid to buy an after the morning pill or whatever. And what the various people are saying about this is they want his, this is a litmus test, they want his take on whether he's going to allow... And whether he is going to allow, I guess.
Yeah, no politics involved in that decision.
No.
It's
right.
a pure scientific matter.
Yeah, exactly. So that
it's like issue driven.
Oh,
you know, are you going to approve this bill? If so, then we're going to shoot you down.
Right. Exactly. And of course, the thing about it is, you look at all the stuff in other countries. That could be abused. I mean, antibiotics especially. You know, they're legal to buy over the counter.
Everybody, hey, you eat what you eat because your mama told you to eat it. And
well,
we have the FDA.
The FDA, of course, they had another thing. The ADHD drug, not enough that the ADHD drugs, these are like Ritalin and some other ones that they chuck the kids with. They're drugging up the kids these days in school to make sure they're staying calm. But they already have a label on there that says warning, you know, death, you know, whatever. I mean, you know,
will occur.
Now they want to put a black box on it, you know, with the skull and crossbones and so forth. And
make it more attractive.
Make it more attractive. Hey, right?
That FDA guy, I heard him speak. He said, "Well, we sleep better at night knowing that the food and medicine we gave our grandchildren was safe because of the FDA."
Yeah. The problem, of course, is, as you know, so often is that because of the FDA delays, people die.
Right.
And you don't get to count those. I mean, you don't get to count the 4 extra years that it took to do something before they got around to it. 10,000 people died and they
suppress your pay.
That's right. Well, then the other thing is they've issued, you know, a raw oyster alert. Apparently there's some pollution up in the west up near Washington State, and they, you know, it's not, I mean, like, who needs this? I mean, you know, these obviously,
hey, I don't mind if they post an alert. What I don't want them to do is be banning anybody from selling the oysters.
Well, they did it down here.
I know.
You know, of course, well, you know, again, it's one of those things. If you're an idiot, I'm saying this is a little culling the herd. You know, if you're an
idiot,
after the hurricane comes through here and red tide and the oysters are all like stink and you eat them, Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I don't have any problem if the government agencies posted recommendations and mailed out warnings and things like that. But what I don't like is when they revoke somebody's license for selling food because, you know, they're also selling oysters or something like that.
And, of course, a lot of this stuff, they shouldn't even have to have a license anyway for a lot of this
stuff. Of course not. No, licensing is anathema to free society.
It's absolutely. It is a restriction. It's a total restriction. You think about it.
You have to prove your equality.
As Stefan Molyneux says in one of his better tirades is, where's the gun? You know, who has the gun in the room? And if you have a voluntary transaction between two people, and then suddenly there's a third party, and the third party shows up with a gun, you know, the transaction is distorted.
And those, of course, the licensees, because nobody else can butt into their business.
Right. Well, but I'm saying, how is that enforced? In other words, if you decide to open up,
it's enforced
because somebody's going to show up with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you decide to open up a barbershop here and not get a license, somebody's going to show up with a gun.
Right.
And so that's, you know, it's a restriction, obviously.
Mercantilism.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, they also, they're so happy here in town because they're trying to make it more business friendly, of course, they're raising the amount of money they charge for the inspections and the initial, when you go up with your plans, they're
permits.
Raising that. The permits, right. The permit fees are going up in order to get some more money. And
that's perfect timing
not
for
to
me.
Mention that it is normal before you, by the time you think about doing something, when you get to do it, is measured in several years, you know, as if time is not money. It isn't to them, but it is to the real world. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I just got two light notes.
Okay, good.
Man lifts car off trapped cyclist.
Yeah, what was all that? I mean, big deal.
Phoenix, Arizona, some hefty bystander and a road accident in southern Arizona.
Superhuman.
Yeah, it was
I almost got it. Oh, I let it go.
Yeah, of course, then he gets sued, you know,
yeah, right. Exactly.
Family. Some 18-year-old cyclist was struck by a car, and this paint shop worker, Tom Boyle, grabbed the Chevrolet Camaro and lifted it, according to this police officer, completely off the ground. Well, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't he didn't have over his head spinning it around like a globetrotter.
It wasn't like
he threw it to the side.
The original
right.
Superman, remember when the baby lifted up the car off of the...
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's right. That. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't think that's... This guy is 6'4" and 300 pounds.
Oh.
So he's hefty.
He can get some momentum.
Muscle. Yeah.
The only thing I have is that Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, this one diamond worker stashed 666 rough diamonds in his underpants. I guess that gives a new meaning to the word family jewels.
Yeah. you could have a rash off of that. Uncut?
Uncut.
Woo!
Rough diamonds.
That could, you know, the problem is that diamonds cut most everything else that happened to be in your drawer.
Right.
I mean, this could be the Bobbitt syndrome. the Lorena thing, you know, let's go... Hope they have a reattachment.
Yeah, hey, I got one dark note.
Okay,
Fender is sick.
Fender,
isn't he the guitar guy?
Yeah,
he's got interminable cancer.
Really? I didn't see that.
Interminable. You mean
it's interminable? Terminable cancer.
Okay,
Interminable.
Double secret.
Terminal cancer.
He's double secret. He's dying. He's in hospice. Whatever. He's gone. Bye. Okay, yeah. How old is he?
He's 69.
Whoa, you're kidding. Really, that's all?
Yeah.
Whoa. He put this stuff together early on, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been young.
In his ute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sayonara from Jimmy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, good luck. Get well or something.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't forget jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Yep, send your emails, Jimmy Lance.
Thanks for the emails.
Yep, and thank you, Jack Rhodes.
Hey, good to be here, Jimmy.
Really appreciate it, as usual. No, you didn't get your Jack Attack.
Oh, I'm working on it.
Okay.
Well, stay tuned,
right. Well, we'll do another one here as quick as we can.
Happy birthday, Larry the Man.
Yeah, Larry the Man. That's right. It's his birthday today. Last Trip Larry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Last Trip. Well, tell him about Last Trip Larry.
And we're having a big Jimmy Doan party tomorrow.
That's right.
So if you know where to go, we'll see you there.
That's right.
Well, of course, this won't be posted by then.
Well, it'll be posted by then.
Right.
Yeah, make sure you listen to this show before tomorrow night, okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The secret word is...
That's right.
Xylophone.
All right. Check out Hanger Dogs. And,
yeah, Hanger Dogs, right? And also Free Domain.
Free Domain. And Blast the Right, in case you want to
Blast the Right if you want to.
Jimmy Doan.
Matter of fact,
show.
Today is... today, when by the time this is posted, he'll have a new one on. If you want it, it'll be a few. I should tape some of that and do like the what do you call it, the audio sound bites, and then kind of respond to it.
You did it initially, but we haven't used them. But yeah, I've got some on over here.
Way over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. We'll get some audio sound bites from tomorrow's party.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we should get some video
interview.
We should get some video and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
We have access now to the three chipper.
Yeah, the three chipper.
We have a cameraman.
Three chipper. Firewire.
That's our audio visual department.
That's right.
Hey, find us soon on ZTLK.
Oh, yep. That's right. We're going to find out about
ZTLK.
September 12th, I think, is going to be their launch date. But I don't know what day that is, but we'll be on Saturday's
live. It's after the 11th.
Yeah. Figured that.
All right. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Few animals were hurt in the taping of the Jimmy Doan Show.
Like this one.
Please tell your friends about the Jimmy Doan Show.